Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelly Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. I'm super excited. Her name is Mary Gordon, and she and I met ultimately through social media, but God had like these details woven together and it was so cool. And like back in January, I did a 31-day wisdom challenge with Kingdom Seekers. And I loved it so much that I signed up. And Mary is one of the people that's on their Zoom call sometimes. So you may know her if you're in Kingdom Seekers. And what's really neat is we became Facebook friends. And I didn't realize until after God told me to invite her on the podcast that she knows some of the same people I know. And you've actually heard them on the podcast before. And that was so cool. And she's local. So she's here with us today. And she knows Pastor Rick Cardell, Wendy Lawson, God's Madcap Missionary, and she knows Delise and Justin Buckles, the evangelists that were here in season two at the beginning. So it's just so cool, the connections that God is making, that like, just, you know, all these people I know, and it's just so fun to find out. It's like one big adventure, which reminds me of the book that Mary wrote, and I'm going to have her tell you about it too. But first, let me have her open us with an opening prayer.
So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we just thank you for everyone that is listening to this podcast. Thank you, God, for their love for you, first of all. And I thank you, God, how you love them and you will show it to them in greater and more dynamic ways. I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. So I'm so excited because life is like an adventure when you follow in the obedience to God's, you know, promptings. And the book that you wrote, it's got a lot of great reviews from the Kingdom Seekers people, and they're on Amazon too, the reviews listed. So where would you like to start?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Shelly and Josh, for having me here. I'm really thankful for this opportunity to speak and just to share my heart. It's really an honor, and I'm just very appreciative of it. And I'm also thankful for the listeners. Anyone that cares enough about God and his goodness to pay attention, you guys are great. So
thank you.
I am just so thankful to be here. And my journey starts, well, a number of years ago. But when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I had grown up in a church and I thought that I had it together. I mean, we were taught that Jesus was raised from the dead. But it wasn't until 1975 when I took a class on the Bible that it dawned on me, and it wasn't even in the beginning of the class, but it dawned on me, oh, Jesus is not only raised from the dead, he's still alive. Would you believe it? I thought I knew it. I had all this background in the Bible, but I never knew that Jesus was still alive. So that was a huge revelation for me. And it was also my born again experience. So it was just only like a week later that they led me into tongues. And I got so excited about that. I got in my car and I drove off. I turned the radio on as high as I could and just sang in tongues to whatever was playing on the radio and just had a blast. And my life has been picking up and just on the rise ever since. I mean, it is amazing. Now, you know, I'm not saying I've never had any downs or dumps, but I just see God. He's just so much fun. And I see him. Well, there's a couple things that I wanted to share today, and I don't know how this is going to go, really, but we're going to see. But one of them is so simple to get into God's presence and to hear his voice and to fellowship with him. It's not hard. And the other is that he's fun. He loves fun, and I love fun. I've loved adventure all my life. I've done a lot of things, including raising two lions in Ethiopia. So I've got...
That's not something you do every day.
Yeah.
And you can see why she's friends with Wendy.
Without
so anyway.
Two peas in a pod.
So, but as I was going through my journey, I ended up marrying Ron Gordon, which is how I got my last name. It used to be Waymanen, and that was a trip because when I was teaching college, I had all kinds of names, including Mrs. Wait a Minute. But anyway, but now I'm Gordon, and we've been married 38 years. And in 2004, we went to a school up in Canada of inner healing and deliverance. But it was during this school that a guy was there. He was a guest speaker, and he was talking about his journaling and his writing. And I started doing it, and I've never quit since then. It has been amazing because I discovered that, and I've always liked to write, but I discovered how God will slide in. And I've seen this, and I've seen it over and over. And it's actually a principle that when we glide into praise and we're worshiping, the Spirit of the Lord is right there with you, and He will just slide in and He'll magnify it. I mean, how many of us have had these amazing encounters just in a worship service where God just slid in? And when I'm sitting in the morning and reading the scriptures, and then I start to write and just start to, whatever comes. I mean, I'll write praises, I write prayers. Sometimes I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking directly to me, and I'll write that down. I've had conversations, and it's just fun. It's a blast. And then you take that because you've got the reality of God's presence right there with you. So as I'm writing, I'm experiencing God. I'm literally experiencing His presence. And He knows I love rhyme. I've always enjoyed rhyme. And one day, and I'm going to read this to you because it was just so cool. I was on my way to Lexington, Kentucky. Well, no, I was actually in Lexington, Kentucky. We were on our way to Nashville, Tennessee for a ballroom dance weekend. That's another thing Ron and I do. We love to ballroom dance.
Oh, my.
But I felt it was one of those times that I hadn't journaled for a number of days, and I felt a little bit disconnected. And I sat down and I said, okay, God, I'm just going to write until I know You're there. I took my journal, and I literally had 6 pages of notes. I mean, just writing praises and prayers and so forth. And then all of a sudden it came in rhythm, and I got this, run after peace, search it out, run into My presence and sing and shout. And right about then I realized, oh, that's rhythm. That's a poem. Hey, it's coming. And then I wrote another line. And this is what is amazing, and this is the only time it's ever happened this way. But when I got to the end of the second line, which you'll hear in a minute, the last word was passion. And as soon as I wrote the word passion, the word fashion came to my mind. And I'm like, how is that going to fit? But it did. So here's the poem, and it's every single stanza, the last word of the fourth line, popped in my mind as I wrote the last word of the second line. That is phenomena. That is not, none of that is promised. But here's the poem. It's run after peace, search it out. Run into My presence and sing and shout. Run into My love and be covered with passion. For I am forever with you, your life to fashion. I will build My spirit within you, it'll be grand. So walk forth in boldness and simply hold My hand. I am there beside you. I'll never let you go. As you look into My face, My love will fully show. Walk beside Me always. Cling to Me, my friend, for I am with you constantly until the very end. I will hold you tightly as you gaze upon My face. I will raise you up so you too can run the race. Enjoy My bountiful spirit. Enjoy the abundance I give. Enjoy My very being, and your life will teach others to live. And you know, every time I read that poem or even think about it, it's just a time to be elated, because I was sitting in, we were actually guests in someone's home, and I was sitting at their kitchen, and I could look out the east window and see the pine needles against the window. And it's just a memory that I hold dear because I love looking at pine trees anyway. I think they're beautiful. And when God gave me that and then just kept giving me the fourth line, the end of the fourth line, when I had only written 2 lines, it was amazing.
There was something about that that welled up the Holy Spirit inside of me and got me tears in the eyes. And that was pretty cool.
It was an amazing thing when it happened. And I see that all the time. And God has just given me so many rich times because I will write praises or prayers and then He'll slide in. And I'm not saying everybody should do it that way. Some people sit down at a piano or a keyboard and sing. But words are the one thing that will go through the barrier between God's dimension and ours. Mm. That's the one thing that will go through that, the barrier. There's a barrier between where God there's a barrier in his dimension where there's no space and time. And yet we live in a world where there's space and time. And so for us, God is everywhere present. He's always there. And he's next to us all the time. And we can reach up anytime and he's there. But it's amazing that, in a sense, he's in a dimension of no space and no time, which is what makes that real for us. And the barrier is bridged by words. And angels with words, you read the Bible, God gave us his revelation of who he is through words. Mm-hmm. All the whole Bible is words. And then there's stories in those words so that we can relate. There's stories mm-hmm. of amazing lives of people, like Hezekiah, for instance, how he trusted the Lord more than anyone. And you know something that's very interesting about Hezekiah? The record of his story is in three places in the scriptures, and there's only one person that has more books attributed to him than Hezekiah, and that is Jesus Christ. He has four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Hezekiah is in three different books, in Isaiah and the Kings and the Chronicles. It's just really fascinating. And then you look at the Joseph and the life that he lived. And then you read about Moses and how he was so obedient. And it even brings that up, how he was meeker than anyone else. So these are all just really cool things. So the scriptures are a lot of fun. But God, he defines himself and he describes himself with words. So one way or another, we use words to praise him, to worship him, to move into his presence. The poem that I just read to you is from a book that I wrote called Inspired Moments of Truth. It's a book of poetry that I wrote. But I'll tell you the reason I wrote it, because as I was journaling in the mornings, every now and then God would give me a poem. And I started, as soon as I get a poem, I'm like real excited. So mm-hmm. I pick up my phone, I text it to everybody I know, and I go, oh, Mary, that's so cool, blah, blah, blah. But the thing was that after a while, I had quite a collection. And so people were telling me, Mary, you got to put it in a book. You need to write a book. And my answer was always, okay, I will when I get enough. Well, you know what? When I put this book together, I realized I had enough for two volumes, and I just got this one done. But it was someone, and Shelley mentioned this, Kingdom Seekers. But the guy that started Kingdom Seekers, Pedro Odeo, by the way, it's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Pedro. But when I first met him through a wisdom challenge, which I think was 2 years ago, I joined his group, and that's what got me motivated to really do something. And mm-hmm. so I put together my book, Inspired Moments of Truth. And then I started working on a second book, Sky Hitching to Heaven, which will be a whole bunch of experiences about how God has shown up in my life. And I have a lot of them, believe me. And so,
what is sky hitching?
Oh, well, you have to get the book to check it out. But I'll tell you,
I need a teaser. Give me a reason why I want the book.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, well, it's actually, the sky hitching is defined in chapter 8 or 7, I think it is. But anyway.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was until I
heard. Everybody knows what hitchhiking
yes.
is. You get on the road and you hope for cars that will stop and pick you up. Well, sky hitching is kind of getting on the road and hoping that planes will pick you up. But where do you go find planes that are on the ground? At airports. And you're not going to go to a commercial airport and sky hitch, so you go to private airports. So I literally sky hitched from mid-Ohio to Spokane, Washington in a day and a half. And that's a whole story, and it's really a fun story. Did you read that?
I did read.
So you have to get my book, Sky Hitching to Heaven. But anyway, I was working on this book, Sky Hitching to Heaven, and I signed up for a book course. So I thought, oh, that'll be cool. Well, the book course was designed to take somebody from scratch, and I'd already written a whole lot of my book, Sky Hitching to Heaven. So I thought, okay, I'll write another book. So I did. And I came up with a book called Escaping Loneliness in Marriage. And this is quite of a different book. This is actually quite serious. And
read the tagline.
Oh, yeah. 5 crucial concepts to feel loved in a volatile marriage. Mm. Yeah, because that's another big thing I'm all about. We're going to have to do another podcast all about feeling loved. But at any rate, because that's a big, especially for women. But at any rate, My husband and I started out on a real bad note, and I mean very sour. I didn't care if he got in a car accident and never made it home. Wow. He was hoping that I would leave. Both of us hated each other to that extent, but we had this commitment to God. Now, you figure that out. We have all this hatred, and yet we're supposedly loving God. Well, God saw a happy ending, and it was our commitment to God that kept us together, because we both wished when the other one would leave, but neither one of us were willing to make that step because we didn't want to break that commitment that we made before God. So we stuck it out. And in Escaping Loneliness in Marriage, you can read about that and how we did work it out. And there's tons of keys in that. And one of the big things I discovered, and actually this happened at a conference where Pedro Deo was running it, 100X conference in Dallas a year ago in the fall, I think it was March. But anyway, it was a conference in Dallas. And I woke up one morning with, hey, you can't understand love without the renewed mind. But the renewed mind is fantasy without understanding the spiritual realm. In other words, I could tell myself I'm happy when I really don't feel happy. That it would be fantasy. But if I understand how to change the state I'm in by changing my thinking, then that would be an application of renewed mind. And love is tied up with renewed mind. And then but the three are intertwined together, love, renewed mind, and the spirit realm. So those are some future books, because this might be my love book, but I'm sure I'll do more because there's just so many keys here that are not just for marriage. And then the book on the mind and our thoughts, I'm in the middle of it. And that's one of my goals, is to have that written before Christmas.
Relatively soon.
Yes, relatively soon.
Nice.
I could share a lot about how fun it is to get to know God and how interesting it can be, but I think I'm going to share one of my chapters from Sky Hitching to Heaven. And I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you about it. But did you read the chapter about the grizzly bear?
Maybe.
Well, anyway, let me tell you about
it.
Because Ron and I were up in a cabin in New Mexico, and we were in the territory where Geronimo was, if you know, where that was the last American Indian to hold the land there. So anyway, we were hiking and we were very close to the Continental Divide, and people have sworn there's no grizzly bears in that area, but other people have sworn they've seen them. Well, I can attest that there are grizzly bears in that area. But we went walking down away from the cabin. There's nothing around except just pine trees and ground, you know. And we came to a saddle, so we went down into a valley. Then we went up another hill, which a mountain, and we were right near the Continental Divide. And where we ended up for lunch was at a spot where we were on a rock, and when I looked behind us, it was straight down, straight drop. I could look way down to birds flying above the trees, literally. I mean, that's how straight down it was. It was almost scary, but we didn't stay right next to the edge. But anyway, but we were on that rock. But before Ron got up there, I always walk faster than he does. So I was up on the rock and I could see him climbing up. And I could kind of give him some hints, like, okay, make a right. Because I could see where the rocks were and where it was steeper and where it wasn't. So I could say, hey, go right, go there, this way, that way. Well, I got to tell you a little something about Ron to understand this story. Now, we did I think it was a personality test, but there was something where he was tested, and he's the type of guy that will not pick something up. He'll walk around it. And believe it or not, I have seen him squeeze between a dirty sock on the floor and the dresser. Why didn't he step over the sock? It's just something in his nature that he had to go around it.
Huh.
And he didn't think to pick it up. Now, that's just a little something about him. But the reason I'm telling you that is because of what happened in New Mexico where we were. So I'm giving him these directions. And I'm looking off downhill to the right. And all of a sudden, some movement caught my left eye. And I turned quickly just to see. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. When Ron got on a rock, there was a dead tree. Apparently there had been some forest fires there, so there were a lot of dead trees, but they weren't big. They were like maybe 4 inches in diameter and fairly long. But instead of stepping over this log, which is only 4 inches in diameter, which makes perfect sense, he picked the thing up, threw it, lifted it up above his head, and threw it over the back of his head so that it dropped behind him and came crashing down to the ground, even lower than where he was, because he was climbing up on this rock, and made this humongous noise.
And he'll have to move it again when he gets off the mountain.
And but right at that point, that's when movement caught my left eye, and I turned around just in time to see the big red-brown rump of a grizzly. He was headed straight towards Ron. And that crash made, you know, the bears move when they get loud sounds. They'll scare them away. You can be firm with a bear and they'll turn. Well, obviously, that was Holy Spirit, because Ron does not pick up anything. He steps over it if he just can't go around it. That thing crashed to the ground, and that's how Holy Spirit kept us safe. I mean, it was amazing. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That was definitely the Holy Spirit. So that's one of my stories in my book.
I love that both of you were oblivious to it. Both of you had no idea it was there. You're absolutely just doing your thing, guiding him up, and he's doing his thing, trying to avoid obstacles.
Exactly.
And then when he does get that one obstacle, he does something completely out of character and throws the obstacle behind him, scaring away a danger that you didn't even know was there.
That's right.
But someone did.
That's right.
Someone knew it was coming, and someone could have told that bear to stop, but instead wanted you to have that moment, you to have that thought, wanted you to have that memory, wanted you to know that he had saved you with what your husband had done, right? Something out of character.
So out of character. That's what was so amazing. And at the time, I thought, well, that's odd.
Yeah,
but I didn't have much too long to think about it, because the crash and then the movement and then...
Wow.
Yeah, so we had a nice lunch.
And the bear did not.
Yeah.
Well, the bear
had a nice lunch, I mean.
Exactly.
Who's gonna?
So anyway, that's my book, Sky Hitching to Heaven, and I have 31 chapters, but basically 30 experiences of different things where God has shown up, where he's either spoken to me and given me insight on something, told me something to keep me away from danger, or to give us... two times he actually told us something to give us favor that was really cool. And then there's another book that I have sitting here, and it's called A Deeper Understanding of Biblical Concepts. And that is by my husband. And he has taken a lot of things that people say, like, well, God is in control. Well, is he really? And different things that people say, and then taking a deeper look in the scriptures. So that's a really nice book to get to. So where should we go next? Would you like to learn more about sky hitching?
I would. I'm blown away by this thought that you don't just hitchhike by some trucker or some nice people in a Volkswagen van, you know, traveling across the country with a banjo. Like, did you do it before you were married or only exclusively after you were married? Like, did you ever do it by yourself?
This was before we were married. This was actually 9 years before we were married.
Okay. And were you ever scared?
Not really. Maybe when that propeller was turning real close to my face, but other than that. The thing is, I really had it on my heart to go see my grandpa, and he lived in Spokane, Washington, and I was in mid-Ohio. And I could have waited and gone in February, this was in the fall, because the ministry that I was involved with at the time had an airplane that was actually going to Seattle in February, and I could have gone with them. But it was just on my heart to go before the end of October, and there's a whole lot of situations that, first of all, the department head said no vacations before November 1st because they had all this stuff going on. And one thing and another. But around the last week of October, I heard God literally screaming in my ear, "You're supposed to be in Spokane." I mean, it was just crazy. And I wasn't young in the Bible, young in the Word. I did not know the Lord that well. I really didn't know that much about Revelation. I just got this loud voice saying, and it was just a thought process. It wasn't even an audible voice that I heard, but it was just like, you're supposed to be in the state of Washington and you're only in Ohio. And I mean, it was just a big deal. So, and the department head wasn't even in town at that point. She was on some meetings. Anyway, I ended up getting permission to leave and I got a ride. Actually, the ministry plane took me all the way to Wichita, to Emporia, Kansas. And then I knew I needed to get to Wichita in order to get better traffic. Well, wouldn't you know, as soon as I land in Emporia, there is a pilot in from Wichita that just flew up to Emporia that day to see his girlfriend and was getting ready to fly back to Wichita. So he took me. So then, and then I got one ride after another. And one of my plane rides was over the Rockies in full moonlight. Mm. Yeah, beautiful snow caps and full moonlight. You can't even imagine. It was glorious. And then there was another stop. I was in Salt Lake City, and I was talking to a guy there, and it was just about the time in 1977 where they were starting to frown on sky hitching. So it was a little, you had to be a little bit careful and kind of cool about it, you know, not be too blatant that this is what you're doing. Anyway, I was talking to this guy, and a plane came in that was going to Boise, Idaho. But they had a rule, they just made a rule, no sky hitchers. So the plane left without me. Well, then at 4 a.m, another plane came, same company, but this time it was the boss. And he's like, sure. So he took me up to Boise. And then I got another ride to Spokane. And that was interesting too, because I was in the airport at Boise and I saw a guy and I said, where are you going? He says, he's flying to Spokane. I said, can I ride along? He says, sure. And then he had to go do some stuff. And then he didn't show up for a while. And I'm like, well, I wasn't sure if he was just kidding with me and he might have gone by then. So I really wasn't sure. And I'm sitting and I meet another pilot that's going to go to Spokane. But at this point, a whole lot of clouds had moved in and the storms were pending. And the second guy was a little bit uncertain and he had not flown with instruments much. He didn't have a whole lot of experience with flying by instruments, you know, because when you can't see the ground, you've got to rely on the instruments. And so he was obviously a little bit nervous about it, but he was going to take me. And then that other guy, the first guy, showed up and it's like he was looking for me. He came and found me. He says, you ready? And I said, yeah. So I went with him, and that was one of the best flights I ever did because he was very experienced. And he flew below the clouds in the mountains. And you don't do that if you don't know what you're doing. And he's pointing out the different animals, all this stuff. And, you know, isn't it interesting that here in 2024, I have all this detail about a flight I took in 1977. I would not have this information if it weren't for the fact that I loved writing all my life, and I wrote letters, detailed letters. And then I made photocopies and kept them and called that my diary. So that's how I have all of this information documented. And it's just really fun. And I'll tell you one more thing. When I got to Spokane, I spent some time with my grandfather. And I shared with him, I mean, he was not against the Bible. He was raised in church and everything. But I shared with him Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And I shared that with him, and he kind of got a little, I don't know what the word is, but he was not real pleased with me shoving this at him. He said, how did you get so religious, blah, blah, blah. But the interesting thing was that there was something that switched. And I honestly think that he may have gone through the rest, through his whole life without actually believing that Jesus, in the literal resurrection of Jesus, that he literally was raised from the dead. And that's required for salvation. That you believe, you confess Jesus as Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead. And so right after that, there were some other people that I knew from our ministry that lived in Spokane, and it turns out they were right down the street, so they touched base with him. So why didn't I wait and go in February? with a plane that I could take easily? You have an idea?
I'm going to go ahead and say that your grandfather had passed.
He passed in January.
Wow.
I would have missed him.
By a month. You'd have been heartbroken.
And not only that, I may have gotten him born again when I was there at the beginning of November. Mm. Yeah.
Mm, so, incredible.
Yes, it is incredible.
I love how, like Pastor Rick, the Holy Spirit prompts you to do things and you're obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you have an adventure.
I was thinking of him too with his hitchhiking.
Well, I'm going to take that. I'm receiving that because I need an adventure in what God's got me doing right now. Well, maybe it's all an adventure, but he's told me to substitute teach in the schools. Here I am.
That's a special person for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing
I would say we take a glutton for punishment to do that. But, you know, a special person, sure.
I have definitely thought that.
If he's calling you to do it, then you know that he's got great goodness from
There's
it.
Something
and
coming.
And you know because of the relationship that you have with him. And everybody's relationship with the Father is different, mm-hmm. right? Because he meets every children on their own need level, right? So you said that you and him have fun. You know that if you're obedient, you're going to have fun. That right there, you know. You know it's like, well, I don't really want to do this because this doesn't sound like fun. And God's like, look, I know who you are. I wouldn't call you to do something that isn't going to be fun for us. And so I really love that you are obedient to things that some of us might even cringe over. You know, like, well, I don't think like substitute teaching any age group of kids sounds
like
fun.
Well, I'll tell you what, I probably won't be taking any sixth graders, and the fifth graders are quite a trip, but the fourth graders are all right. And the high school's fine. But somehow the high school they haven't been posting, so I don't know. But I've been calling them over at the grade school and say, what's available this week? And I had a really fun time Thursday morning, because it was their Halloween day, you know? And so the teachers, instead of each teacher having their own class, we doubled up in pairs. There's six classes of fourth graders. And so we had three pairs of two. And so I was with another teacher and we did the math fun, and somebody else did something else, probably English language of arts. And then someone else probably did social studies. But when they came to our room, we had the same fun experience in each time. It's just the kids rotated. And when they came to our room, we played multiplication bingo. So they had their little sheets with the numbers on them, and we would give them a multiplication, like what's 9 times 5, and if they had 45 on their sheet, they could mark it. And so that's what we did. It was fun. And then we had three groups of that, and then there was a period where they went to their special classes, and then they had their party, and that was the end of the time for me. So that was easy. But there's times where I have not figured out how to keep order in some of these classes.
Mm.
And it can get loud, and other teachers will come in and say, you know better, if Mrs. So-and-so were here, you wouldn't be. But anyway, so we just keep going. But God told me I'm a seed.
Mm.
He told me I was a seed for this school.
And I would argue for that wholeheartedly, that is a seed that is definitely necessary in our schools again.
Oh my goodness.
Without fail, without a doubt, that is something that's sorely missing, and God knows that.
Yes, he does.
Right? He knows that when they took him out of the schools, that evil filled the place. And that now look what we have.
Yeah.
You don't need to research a whole lot. In every single country that's taken God out of schools, look what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see that in so many different ways, don't we? And it's interesting that it goes back to the 60s. Because prayer was taken out of school in 1962. And then there was a big event in 1969 in New York. Have you read The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my. Have you seen that book? Well, he just shows how Baal came back in and how Ishtar and all these different things came in. But there's events apparently that led up to some of our voter issues that started in the 60s. So it's interesting that in the 60s, some stuff really went down. And it has to be because parents were really getting relaxed and everything was going great, and they didn't really teach their kids about the Lord, and they didn't really teach them to read the scriptures and to build a relationship. And so
I think a lot of families suffered, you know, our fathers, our grandfathers, our great grandfathers and mothers, they suffered because they didn't know better. They didn't understand it. Because we had easier times, they didn't get to lean on the Lord for that understanding. They didn't get to lean on the Lord in those hard times. And as a result, it created weak Christians. And so they didn't know to go to prayer all the time. They didn't know to teach their children to go to prayer all the time. And so when the enemy came, he came while they were asleep.
Yeah.
And he infiltrated their house. And now we are infiltrated with the enemy everywhere, all around us. And now more than ever, we need to don the armor of God and fight this adversary on his terms. Right. We have to fight them with prayer. We have to fight them with kindness to each other, with love for each other.
That's right.
And there's no other way to do it. Like if I go out and punch somebody, that is not winning any wars for God. Right. That is not the way he's doing it. It's not the war he's fighting. It's not how he wants to fight it. And we're here to win souls. And the only way to do that is to show the character of who Christ is.
You know, it's really interesting in the spiritual realm. God has built it into the universe that love will end up winning out. It's a bigger force. And it doesn't seem that way at times, but he sees the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it is the bigger power, and it will win out. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you were mentioning, Josh, about people not knowing how to pray and so forth, it all comes to how to think. And that's what my book is that I'm writing now. It's all about thoughts. Because, you know, in Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Who does not want to prove God's perfect good and will? I mean, who wouldn't want that? And the key right there is on our thinking. Well, I started realizing how much is in the scriptures about thoughts. I mean, there's a ton. Look at Romans 8. Spiritual thinking leads to life, mm-hmm. but carnal thinking leads to death. Mm-hmm. And then there's a list in Philippians chapter 4. There's a list, actually, of things to think about. Mm-hmm. A whole, you know, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever true, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are good report, and so on. Just, honest. These are, I mean, God even gives us a list. So when I was growing up, you know, it was all the do's and don'ts of the Bible.
The legalism aspect.
Yeah, don't drink, don't smoke, do all that. And now I'm realizing that is just almost irrelevant, because what is really the Bible so much about when it's about our life, it's about how we think. There is so much in there about thoughts and how we think. But let me digress about one thing. There used to be a major cigarette brand named Camel. And so the joke was, do you know the first biblical record of smoking? What's the first record of smoking in the scriptures? It's when Rachel lit off her camel. So anyway, shall I share some more about how I spend time with God?
Well, I just want to say something that I remembered. Like when we talk about being seeds and planting seeds, we also have to pray for good soil, that they fall on good soil, because you can plant them all you want, but if that ground isn't right, that seed isn't going to grow. So that's one thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With the good soil.
You also need a waterer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, God is what causes the growth. Mm-hmm. But like Paul was in Apollyon, right? They were having an issue at one point where Paul was planting seeds, but Apollyon was a masterful speaker on behalf of the word. And he was a great orator when it came to filling people with encouragement, filling people with this body of Christ, filling people with the words that they needed to hear. He's great at it. And they were like, well, who's greater, Paul or Apollyon? And Paul's like neither one of us. I plant the seeds and he waters it. God creates that growth in you, that desire. Like, don't count one more than the other. They're both equal in the eyes of God. They're both necessary.
Yeah.
And some people, it illustrates like you're really good at one spot. My wife is really good at another. I'm really good at a third spot, because we're all necessary for God's plan to work. We all need to be good at our spots. I don't need to do what Mary does. And Mary doesn't need to do what Shelley does, because we all have our roles to play.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that
the body
neat?
Of Christ.
That we can just move in our own little thing, whatever giftings God has given us, whatever we're good at, just to move in that, mm-hmm. because God's got this figured out. Mm-hmm. We're one body, and he's the whole thing works together, mm-hmm. to bring the deliverance and to bring what he wants to accomplish. So each one of us. So I'm sitting in my bedroom getting a poem and writing it down, getting excited. And then I'm texting it to people. Who knows why certain people come to my mind to send it to? Mm-hmm. I mean, why not? That be God saying, this person is going to benefit from that particular poem right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things like that. It's just really sweet how God's put us all together and mm-hmm. formed it so that mm-hmm. it does work out. And we don't see that. We can't possibly see the whole picture, but God does. So each one of us, as we move forward in what we're supposed to do, then he works it together. And see, mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:16, I think it is, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to however it works of will of God somehow. But each one of us is one of those joints. And we're each supplying. And that's an interesting, too, that it says it grows and increases, but gets compacted. When things get compacted, you feel like they're getting tighter, and so the whole thing would be getting smaller. But that's not how it works.
You can look at it as looking stronger.
Yeah, stronger and bigger. Mm-hmm. Because each one of us is walking in our gift, and then God compacts that, but he also increases it, so the body gets bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And the force and the impact becomes larger. Yeah, it's really cool how God has these things set up.
Yeah, all the details, every detail. Thank you for sharing that. If you haven't read any of Mary's books, I encourage you to do so. We'll put some links in the about section so you can find her there. And you can connect with her in social media. You'll find her there. And thank you so much for coming on. And I'm glad we finally got to do this. And God has been connecting us in a bunch of other ways and other events, too, that we keep running into each other for. So it's pretty cool. I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly blessed to have you on. I love hearing anything that has to do with Jesus. I love hearing about miracles. I love hearing about how things work out. I love hearing the coincidences that I don't believe in. I know what they are. They're God-orchestrated events. I don't believe in coincidences. And so I'll say that loosely with quotation marks. So I really appreciate your willingness to be obedient to God, even in things that don't seem like something that you want to do. That's a very Christ-like behavior to do something, especially that you don't want to do, at the prompting of God. And I think that's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you both, Shelley and Josh. Thank you so much.
And listener, thank you for listening to our episode today. And if this has been a blessing to you, we ask that you share it with a friend or family member. And don't forget, you can sign up for our email list to get the weekly email link. And also hit the follow button in all the social media so you can follow along. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.